What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast, brought to you by BetterHelp. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have, life can be pretty damn hard. And without a healthy mind, it's even harder. Check out online therapy with BetterHelp.com/toast and be on your way to a little more ease. Welcome back to the show. Happy hump day!
Starting the week with a hump day, the work week for us with a hump day. It's an amazing feeling. It rarely happens.
And also, it's the last episode we did was on Friday, where we were literally scraping the bottom of the barrel for something somewhat interesting to discuss. Little did we know, all we had to do was take off 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, for Labor Day and Rosh Hashanah, to come on Wednesday with the juiciest show we've had in a while.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about, and it's really exciting to have things in which to talk about and some really like exciting news that I feel personally invested in.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. First layers, obviously, all the celebrity news that happened in the last 3 days, like literally all last night, just so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Two, I watched the most television I've ever watched in my life over the holiday and over the weekend, because I didn't do anything over the weekend, and I cannot wait to discuss things we both watched, things I just watched, and the TV recap is fucking quaking.
And I just have three words. The D'Amelio Show.
The motherfucking D'Amelio Show. And by the way, just programming, like, we don't have time for Dear Toasters today. Like, we have much to catch up on.
Because Dear Toasters is on Tuesday.
But we're not going to skip it this week.
No, we're just, it's going to be on
Tuesday.
We'll
do it on a slower day.
No, but it's like when we miss a TV recap that was supposed to be, like, we don't then recap it the next day. Like, it just, it's on its day. We miss the day.
You mean you're going to wait till next Tuesday for Dear Toasters?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know if the toasters would be too pleased to hear about this.
I think that it's in line with our stance on other issues.
We'll see. We'll talk about it after at our strategizing meeting. And then third, where was I? Celebrity news, TV I'm excited to talk about.
And you have something to talk to me about, you said.
I do.
Is that the third thing?
No, but thank you for reminding me. The third thing is that we also were a part of all the drama last night because we dropped a Patreon episode with the biggest fucking bomb in our family's legacy. And that's saying a lot, okay?
Yeah, like, we were saying last night, like, this is the craziest episode I think we'll ever record. And I personally, like, was not
being clickbait.
Exaggerating. I was not lying. Like, when I think about, like, the news that we could share, like, this is one of the craziest things that we've shared. Because if you know us as a family, which most of you do, like, it's wild.
It's wild. So the new podcast is up. We dropped it last night. It's on our Patreon. Patreon is our subscription service. You guys know $7.99 a month gets you 5 extra episodes, and it gets you early access to the juiciest drops. Like last night, we were in this studio with a third person who dropped a truth bomb. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Now to the thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Great.
So you recommended me this book. And
okay.
No, let me finish.
And I just want to let everyone know, it's the book I've been saying that's a sweet rom-com that's extremely porny.
It is not a rom-com. It is literally erotica. Okay? Let me just say that.
Okay.
And so you kept calling me yesterday, like, did you read more? And I was very involved in this TV show, which I'll talk about in the TV recap, so I didn't read more.
Okay.
And I could not sleep last night just because I've had 5 days off. I've been, like, sleeping till noon, so I was, like, really off. Ben is snoring away. And I'm like, you know what? I could read. And I read 2 chapters. I'm about like maybe almost 70% of the way through it. What's the book called again?
It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. Every time I say it's the raunchy porn book, everyone's like, wait, what was it again?
It is pornography. Like, I was shook that you read this book. And I was wondering why, like, you were calling me so much, like asking if I read the book, like, who fucking cares? And then I finished, I think it's chapter 19. And I was cackling in my bed, understanding why you were calling me asking if I read the book, because spoiler alert, she puts her finger up her boyfriend's butt. Is that what you were referring to?
I wasn't waiting for anything in particular. I just wanted to, like, one, when I recommend a book to someone, like, I'd like to know how it's going. I knew that you were reading a lot this weekend.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know if, like, things were in line with, you know, how I said they would be.
So you weren't waiting for me to see the finger in the bum?
No, like, to me, there was, like, so much, you know, stuff happening in every scene that not one thing, not one stuff, like, stood out over
not one
every,
finger?
Not one finger.
Okay, because, like, I finished out a chapter and I was cackling because it was all coming together. Like, that's probably why you were calling me. That's a fucking crazy thing to happen in the book. Like, it's an insane fucking book. I just can't. And by the way, I like it. I can't believe you read it and liked it.
Okay, so I read it because Snitch almost chose it for the redheads. Thank the Lord that she didn't.
Yeah, because it's not, you guys couldn't really have, like, an intellectually stimulating conversation.
No. And I was surprised by how much I liked it, considering, like, it's so porny, it's so YA, and I think that the love story is, like, really there. Don't you think?
I think so, too. It gives me this, like, the vibe of, like, people, like, joke about Twilight, but, like, we really know, like, Twilight is a true love story.
Right.
Like, and they are both some of the most talented actors in the business, and people are like, oh, Twilight. Like, I agree with you. It's like a silly book, but the love between Brendan, spoiler alert, and Piper is real.
Right. So that's why I recommend it to everyone, because I think it's a nice book, but it's also, like, embarrassing on my part.
I was,
like,
going to say, don't you feel weird recommending it?
I feel extremely weird. That's why I can't say, like, It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey without being like, it is extremely raunchy and porny.
No, you're not selling it. It's erotica, like, period.
No, but here's the thing.
They probably can't sell it in bookstores.
Here's the thing. We were talking about it with Snitch at Rosh Hashanah, and I need her to read it because all the books that she reads are raunch porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if this book is more than the usual, or is it just another book in the life of Snitch?
Well, I feel like I read a good amount of erotica because I read so much Colleen Hoover, and, like, she really... It puts so much unnecessary porn in her books. And I can tell you definitively that this book is the most erotic. I think I've never read 50 Shades, but I think it's up there.
I agree.
It's nuts.
I agree. But Snitch reads, like, all these books.
She read 50 Shades.
Is this just another day in the life for Snitch? So also for the toasters and readers out there, please read this book and let us know what you think. Where does it rank on the porn scale? So, like, for you, it's a 10. It's 100%. The porniest book you've ever read.
Yes.
I would think for me, too. I have to, like, think back to things that I've read, but I would think for me, too, yes.
Yeah, like, you know it's bad. Well, not bad, but, like, it's high on the porn list when the author refers to a woman's vagina as her sex.
Oh. Well, you know, also the P word.
Oh, by the way, oh, we talked about that at Rosh Hashanah, not at the on the not podcast. On the this book said the P word, pussy. And I was so shook, by the way, when I read two chapters last night, said it again. Might have even said it three times.
Yeah, no, the author comes out big and bold with the word pussy.
It's shocking to see it on your Kindle, you know?
You could click on it and get a definition.
So I spent a lot of the weekend watching TV. I'm also almost through that book. I really like it. Like, it's very sweet. I'm not trying to rush through it. It's
just
cute.
Shocking. Like, it's the level of porn, like, it's just a lot for, like, the book, the content of the book. But I want to know from other readers who read mostly YA, which is also porn, synonymous with erotica. What do you think? It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. And it's also just a good book.
It is. It's cute. And then other things, we're going to dive into the TV recap, but we both watched The D'Amelio Show.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I finished Clickbait, which was, like, everyone's obsessed with, and I have a lot of thoughts. And I don't know if you'd like it, but it was pretty good. I also watched Only Murders in the Building.
Okay.
And I spent a lot of time on Hulu. I watched some of Nine Perfect Strangers, and I have a lot of thoughts on everything, especially The D'Amelio Show. I know that you and I are really on the same page about that. So that will be in our TV recap. But before that, like, there's so much to do.
There's so much to do. And I watched Cinderella.
Oh, yes!
So I'll let everyone know what I thought about it.
Give us a sneak peek.
I watched Shrek 4. I thought it was incredibly dark. And, like, I don't know what the campers are going to be doing. Like, I'd never seen Shrek 4 because the storyline didn't even ring a bell. And it was just a lot of, like, It was hard. There was, like, an ogre revolution. Like, it's insane.
An ogre-ution?
Yeah. Like, it was crazy.
No, Shrek 4 is, like, the personification of, like, too much of a good thing.
Yeah. But they also, like, did a pretty good job. But it was just, like, too dark. Like, Rumpelstiltskin, like, is an animal. Anyways. What else did I watch? D'Amelio's Cinderella. I think that's it. If anything else comes to me, I'll let you know. I finished my book. Empty Mansions took me forever. I wouldn't really recommend. Could have been an article. This is a meeting that could have been an email.
A book that could have been an article.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I feel like we should just dive in because it's like killing me not to talk about certain things. So okay.
Without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Before we dive in, I have a very funny do story.
Ooh.
Last night was the second night of, or the first night after Erev, of Rosh Hashanah, and me and Ben had the Rosh Hashanah meal with his family. And, you know, Theo just, like, was running amok, like, living his life. And then we get home, and we're laying in bed, and I'm, like, smelling something. And I'm like, do you smell matzo ball soup? And Ben's like, yeah, I do. And we're, like, sniffing around, like, where's the soup? And literally, Theo's ears sopping wet. It smelled like dill. You know the smell of like matzo ball soup. I have no idea how it got in there, but like no one was really paying attention to him when we were at dinner. So he must have just like run into the kitchen, maybe hopped on the counter and like drank some soup.
Good for him.
He just wanted to celebrate. Yeah.
He's such a good Jewish boy. Such. And like of everything he could have snagged, some
the
soup.
Good for the soul.
So sweet. That's
he probably still smells. I didn't watch it. I was
too
tired.
That's a beautiful story.
It was a stunning moment.
Okay.
Of Yiddishkeit and spirituality and Ruach in our family.
Yes. And so now without further ado, like we won't dilly-dally any longer before we let you know that pregnant Kylie Jenner is showing off her baby bump for the first time in a new video posted to her Instagram confirming the rumors are true.
Deleted my Twitter.
And that Kylie is pregnant. Kylie is pregnant. Part two.
Now, this isn't surprising just because, like, there have been all these theories. And if you're, like, in the know and you watch TikTok, like, you knew that she probably might have been pregnant. I'm glad that she was able to tell on her own terms. I do feel like all these conspiracy theories, like, probably pushed up her announcement date slightly. I do feel sad, like, I don't know, I just, like, hate that we live in this world, like, where people just can't announce their own pregnancy. But then, you know, I did, you know, fall down a small rabbit hole on TikTok this morning, like, people thinking Kylie's already given birth.
Mm-hmm.
Because in one of the videos, Stormy is wearing, like, Christmas pajamas. So, like, if the timeline were to add up, I don't fucking know. But
I could just see Stormy being, like, sort of chaotic about when she celebrates her holidays.
And, like, Kylie, of course, would never do that, but she would allow Stormy to because she wants Stormy to be happy.
I don't think that's true because, like, for a few months, especially in the beginning of the year, like, Kylie was, like, always with her friends.
Out and about.
1942, going to the beach, like, crazy stuff.
That's true.
So, I think I saw one thing, like, a comment or something that said based on her manicures in the videos and, like, timing that she's probably due in December.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy. And I just want to say, like, it means something to me to be pregnant at the same time as Kylie.
Of course. Like, it's... What, are you a monster?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if people would, like, think that these things matter.
It matters.
I am just, like, over the moon.
Do you feel,
like,
even better about your decision to get knocked up now?
100%. And just, like, what a great, fabulous pregnancy buddy. And so I guess she would be, like, 2 months ahead of me. I'm hoping maybe she's, like, January and she's just, like,
like maybe the TikTokers aren't right.
Maybe those, like, belly pictures were from yesterday. And that's why she was waiting to post this video till she had, like, more belly pics.
And the video was fabulous, by the way. Like, it was really so sweet, to the point.
Yes, exactly. So I just, like, it's just going to be such a fun journey. And I was the one who, I did say that I thought that with this pregnancy, Kylie would be giving us pregnant Kylie content.
You did say that.
So I'm excited to see that. And then also, like, the postpartum journey, I'm excited to, like, hopefully line up with her and, like, see where she's at and all these tings.
No, it's stunning.
Like, and the rumors are that she's having a boy just because she's been using, like, blue heart emojis on stuff, which is, like, pretty...
I don't know if she would be that obvious.
Pretty thin.
Yeah.
But then that's also exciting for me.
Totally. Like, maybe
our boys could be friends.
Maybe your boys could be boys. And they would say, we them boys! What? We making noise! That's what the boys would say as they came out of your vagine. Out of your sex. out of your pussy.
No. It's good to have goals in life, and that's one.
No, it's really fabulous news. Like, I love, you know what I love? It's like, there's so many rumors about, like, Kylie, Travis. Like, Travis has a side bitch. Like, maybe it's true, but, like, they always present a united front, and I just, like, love that for them.
Yeah, no, I really do too, and I'm so happy. I'm happy for Kylie.
Me too, and I loved the Kris Jenner sonogram moment.
I know, but it's also crazy to me that Kylie waited till her first sonogram, which is usually around, like, 7-8 weeks, in order to share with Kris.
It did feel like they were really surprised.
You think?
Like, when she had was in the beginning of the video had the pregnancy test, and her and Travis were like, what? Like, I got the vibe that it was like a shock, like it wasn't planned.
Oh.
That's just me.
I don't know. Maybe because I've been reading like some of the rumors where it's like they've been trying and, you know, she wants another baby. Like, I just assume that they were trying.
It's possible, but.
So I loved it all. And all the like sisters are so excited for her.
Yes. It's so cute. Like,
it's very, very sweet.
And I love that she's like out and about now, you know, like who knows, the possibilities for what we can get from Kylie in the next couple months are endless.
And, you know, I'm really feeling creatively like stymied in terms of pregnancy,
maternity wear,
especially at this stage where it's like my clothes like don't really fit, like, yeah, my usual clothes, but I'm like, when I look at maternity websites, it's for like really big bellies. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of in this in-between phase.
Leggings.
Yeah. So I'm looking to forward to seeing like what Kylie brings to the table, maybe some inspo, because like
she should do Kylie maternity.
I know. Now that I've been like looking for maternity clothes, and there are some good options, like ASOS has maternity, I just placed an order.
Oh, good.
There's Hatch that they reach out to me. They're going to send me some tings.
Fabulous.
There's some cool maternity wear, but like, of course, it's like, there's a gap in the market.
No, there is. No, but there is, like, for real.
Yeah, but then I'm sure, like, then you give birth and you forget about the gap and you move on.
Of course.
Till the next time.
Of course.
Yeah.
But not everyone, like, is pregnant and has to look their best on a TV show. A podcast.
On a TV show.
Yeah, on a world-renowned Peabody Award-winning show.
Agreed. Not everybody. So I'm just going to keep going with the things that stretch. And then I'll let you guys know.
By the way, that's my department. Like, if you want to go shopping, just let me know.
I was really, like, close to looking in Zach's closet today.
No.
But it's, like, I'm not that big. Like, that would be really, like, unnecessary.
No, that would just be, like, it would actually be concerning if you were at that stage when you're only, like, 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah, but I have been wearing some of his, like, bottoms to bed. Because the waistband starts to get, like, a little tight.
Oh, by the way, I sleep in Ben's undies, like, almost every night.
Oh, nice.
Clean.
Cool.
Oh, clean.
I assumed.
So happy for Kylie, like, and the whole Jenner family, mm-hmm. the Webster family. Like, I don't know how Stormy's going to take, you know, being a big sister, no longer center of attention, having to share the stage. Maybe, but it's a part of growing up.
Maybe Stormy was just putting on an act in the video, but she did look really excited.
Yeah, of course. It's all exciting until, like, something comes and takes, like, literally all the attention away from you.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Stormy's ready to share. She must have so much attention and so much toys.
Yeah, and that can be good and bad.
But there's nothing like a friend.
There's nothing like a sister or brother.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story, which is a little more pregnancy news? Olivia Munn is pregnant with John Mulaney's baby. John Mulaney and Olivia Munn are expecting a baby. The stand-up comedian confirmed the actress's pregnancy news Tuesday on Late Night with Seth Meyers while discussing his eventful year and their whirlwind relationship. He said, we're having a baby together. I was nervous when I was about to say the news. I'm going to be a dad.
Obviously, I think it's great welcoming a child into the world. I don't want to say anything negative about pregnancy.
A lot of factors at play here. He announced his divorce 4 months ago.
Now, of course, we don't know everything. Maybe they've been unhappy for 4 years. Like, not judging the timeline. But I am judging this whole situation. I'm sorry. Like, it's just too weird.
Yeah. And a picture emerged of her a few days ago.
Yes. Pregnant.
Looking pregnant. So I guess that maybe is what prompted them to announce the pregnancy.
Yeah, I also do.
And I just want to say, I'm 4 months pregnant, and she looks more pregnant than me.
Well, so I do think it's weird that he went on a TV show and gave a timeline of his, like, that's really personal. Like, sharing the pregnancy update with us is already, like, a wonderful thing, but it just felt really personal, him giving the timeline, the breakdown, like, sort of like, we didn't do anything wrong. And I was like, well, I didn't think you did, but now I do.
Yeah, he said, I went to rehab in September 2020. I got out in October. I moved out of my home for my ex-wife. I host SNL on Halloween. I relapsed on drugs, then I continued using drugs. I went to rehab again, this time for 2 months. I got out in February. I lived in sober living for another month and a half. Then in the spring, I went to LA and met and started to date a wonderful woman named Olivia. So
it's just weird. Like, okay, maybe the timeline adds up, but, like, it's just, yes, why do we know that?
Maybe in reality, he separated from his wife in fall of 2020. And now, you know, a year later, they're expecting.
Right.
But from the people's POV, they announced their divorce 4 months ago.
No, you know what's so weird about the world is, like, you, maybe a year ago, you couldn't tell me that, like, people would turn on John Mulaney. Like, he is adored. Like, he is the biggest.
Are people turn? I haven't read.
I think people feel very defensive of his ex-wife, Anna. Like, she was a PJOM. Like, they were such a great couple. Like,
and
so
he
cute.
Also, like, always maintained that he didn't want children.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, he was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, like, and comedy is more personal than food, and he said that he didn't want kids. Not never, but, you know, they're just, like...
It wasn't in their plan.
Yeah, and they're happy with, you know, where they're at, and...
Oh, my God, that's, like, another, like, fucked up layer.
Mm-hmm.
No, the story's so weird, and, like, it's really... I know this is terrible, and this is just my opinion, and I don't want to send any hate to anyone, but, like, this whole storyline makes me hate these two people so much. And, like, just the fact that, like, we now live in a world where John Mulaney's, like, at the center of, like, some weird ethical scandal is just not what I expected, because he's, like, known as, like, the PJOM comedian. Like, everyone loved him, and they loved him and his wife. And, like, I just didn't think this is how, like, life was going to turn out for John Mulaney. And now that it has, like, I personally just need to, like, digest that.
Okay. Take your time. I'm really, like, not that familiar with him, so.
Me neither. Like, not at all.
Me, this, like. I'm more, I know Olivia Munn more.
Yeah, no, this is just like, it's too much.
It's a lot. But ultimately, happy news for the happy couple. Mazel tov. Mazel tov.
I just don't, and like the announcement was really awkward. Like maybe there's no one in Seth Meyers' studio. I don't know if he has a studio audience, but there was like four people clapping and it was just like crickets.
Yeah.
It's too weird. Like I don't even know how to feel, but I'm just feeling not good.
I'm feeling like...
I'm curious how other people feel. Like, people who actually like and, like, know and respect his comedy. Like, I really don't know anything about him. I've never been a fan, but...
I don't know. Just, like, after watching the D'Amelio show, like, I don't want to say anything negative about anyone ever again.
By the way.
Because you just never fucking know.
Totally.
Like, before I watched D'Amelio's show, I would have said, if I thought about Charlie and Dixie, that they must be, like, the happiest girls in the world because look at the luck.
Look at their life.
And you just never know.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Mm-mm.
But we'll get to that in the TV recap.
We always do.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Britney Spears' father asks the judge to end her conservatorship.
So much news.
In a surprise move, Britney Spears' father asked a judge on Tuesday to end her conservatorship, which would allow the singer unfettered control over her life, her finances, and her healthcare decisions for the first time in 13 years. Jamie Spears filed a petition with probate judge Brenda Penny, saying that recent events have shown that she should get that chance to control her own affairs. Quote, Ms.
Spears, you think?
Ms. Spears has told this court that she wants control of her life back without the safety rails of a conservatorship. She wants to be able to make decisions regarding her own medical care, deciding when, where, and how often to get therapy. She wants to control the money she has made from her career and spend it without supervision or oversight.
She's crazy.
She wants to be able to get married and have a baby if she so chooses. In short, she wants to live her life as she chooses without the constraints of a conservator or court proceeding. So
I just don't feel like his intentions here are pure. I feel like he's not doing this because he cares about Britney. Like he cannot take being the most hated man in America now. And like the consequences of his actions are catching up with him. So he's doing this, I think, in an attempt to like appease the public, get people off his ass. Not really because he cares about Britney. But at the end of the day, the result would be the same. And I'm obviously thrilled about it.
Okay. I have a few more thoughts about this because I agree. He's not just like a benign sort of guy.
No.
Like, oh, okay. Oh, you didn't like it? 13 years?
Let me fix it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oops.
Like, oops. Okay. But I think, and I remember when all of like the trial was happening and Britney was speaking, like there are a lot of people who believe that Britney like might, we don't know what's going on with Britney.
People believe that she might need a conservator.
Right. But I think the conservatorship that she's been under has been insanely abusive and controlling. And I think there was a way for what she wanted was a different conservator and more freedom. You know, like the way she was living and working and her allowance, like
nuts.
And her IUD is just like
nuts.
Nuts. So I feel like she there's a chance that she needs a conservator. Again, we don't know like the medical diagnosis that or, you know, mm-hmm. where she's at. And so by him, like, say, like, just taking it away completely, it's like he wants to see her, like,
fail.
He wants to show everyone.
You know, by the way, the way that thing was worded was definitely patronizing. Like, all right, she doesn't want anyone to look after her medical care. Like, no one will look.
Yeah.
You know, I feel what you're saying. Like, it doesn't seem like this is, like, an actual, like, white flag surrender. It's like, all right, fine, you don't want my help? Don't take it.
Yeah.
It sounded very bitter.
Yeah. And also, I just, like, can't really believe after, like, 13 years of her, you know, privately probably telling him, like, please stop.
Yeah.
And now publicly that all of a sudden he got the
picture. Had a change of heart. Yeah.
So I do think there's something nefarious here going on. He's trying, like, a different route.
Color us skeptical.
I am skeptical. But ultimately, you know, I still think if it's between being conserved with Jamie or no conservatorship.
Obviously.
No conservatorship.
Yeah. No, it's just like a crazy whirlwind. I don't know if this petition he submitted will actually get it done, though. Because it seems like everyone in this case, the judges, like everyone is somehow being bribed or is involved. So like no justice ever gets served. It's like we're like running in circles.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like Jamie like, look, I'm a hero. Oh, but the judge didn't allow it. I have to stay.
Yeah.
So I just don't buy any. Like until Britney is freed, like I won't buy anything.
I agree. I'm so skeptical. I mean, we keep getting these updates that, like, seem like good updates or seem like big news.
He's stepping down. And then it's like, wait, no, he's not. Did anyone actually read the report? Like,
right.
There's so much fake fucking news. You're totally right.
So until, like, she's on her Instagram on IG Live, like, saying everything she wants to say, driving in her car on IG Live with a...
Handheld, hands-free.
Hands-free device. I won't believe it.
Yeah. But we are hopeful.
Yes.
But skeptical.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Cautiously optimistic.
Okay. Now some next big news. Just, they keep coming.
We're 5 for 5. Like, we don't have time for bullshit stories today.
We are 5 for 5. Scott Disick and Amelia Hamlin break up.
Woo-hoo!
The 20-year-old model and the 38-year-old reality star have broken up after less than a year of dating, Page Six has confirmed. A source told Us Weekly on Tuesday that Amelia was the one who ended things with Scott. Quote, they're both taking it in stride.
I actually believe that.
Reminder, the breakup news comes just a week after the talentless designer's private messages about...
That sounds funny.
Yeah, about ex Kourtney Kardashian were made public. Obviously, Scott messaging Eunice, yo, is this chick okay? Definitely, like we said,
pissed off.
Would piss off that Amelia. Person's girlfriend.
Honestly, like this whole, I have so many thoughts about this whole relationship and Lisa and everything. But if this is how it played out, like Amelia felt like hella disrespected by all this. I actually have a lot of respect for Amelia because the way that it looks is like, of course, like Amelia will never break up with Scott. Like it's the most relevant, famous person she'll ever date. Like her whole family like pretends not to be excited, but they are. Like, so if she did actually break up with him, like out of respect for herself, like you can't be going around like embarrassing me. Like I have a lot of respect for that. I just have to say, I don't know if that's how it played out. That is how this article made it seem, but you really never know. But I will respect that because that is an admirable thing to do, to have self-respect in a relationship like that.
Right. We had assumed last week it was just another day in the Disick household.
Right. Like that wouldn't bother her. Like she, like you in a relationship like that.
You don't like it? Go to your room.
Yeah, no. In those types of relationships, like you don't really get to be mad. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Or you can go.
Yeah. You don't like it? Leave.
And so perhaps she left.
And so that does give me like a little bit of like a look at Amelia. Respect. Yeah. But now we have to talk about Lisa Rinna and her like social media antics in the last few days. Like she posted a picture of Harry Styles because like on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, when asked about Scott, she pretends to be upset and she's like, why couldn't she have just dated Harry Styles? Like, all right, get in line, Lisa, first of all. Second of all, she posted the picture of Harry, leading people to think that like maybe they were not doing well, Scott and Amelia. And then this whole news came out and she responded to someone's comment just like confirming that, like, you know, she was just like putting herself in the middle of it. And like honestly, now that the relationship's over, it's so easy for like Lisa to be like, oh well, I didn't like this, I didn't approve. But like,
where were you?
Right, where were you when your 19-year-old daughter was dating almost a 40-year-old man?
Yeah,
like it's easy to be the hero now.
Yeah,
but where were you, like pretending on Beverly Hills, like, oh Disick, like stop.
Yeah,
we're not buying it.
No, we're not. But that's that on that, I guess. I'm so thrilled to no longer have to not talk
to about, avoid
to go
talking
out of
about
my
them.
Way talking about them. Hopefully he engages in an age-appropriate relationship.
Good luck.
Hopefully she does as well.
I don't think so.
You don't think so from either of them?
No, I'm sure Amelia will find someone her age, but Scott.
Yeah.
It's a pattern now.
Yeah.
And that's where it makes it difficult for me as like a fan of his, like to really respect anything he does.
Big time.
Big time.
Are you ready for the final story?
For what? The final story.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
We're cool for the summer. I'm fun another. We're cool for the summer. We are cool for the summer.
Okay, we're cool for the summer, and now we're ready for the fifth and final story, which is the full Dancing with the Stars season 30 cast. And it's really a good one.
It is.
The cast of the new season of Dancing with the Stars includes the talk co-host Amanda Kloots, which we announced last week. And by the way, she was a Rockette.
Yes, she was a dancer.
She was a Rockette. Not just a dancer.
Like the dancer.
The creme de la creme. That means cream of dancers.
Don't say that in front of Theo. He's the cream of the cream of dancers. Have you ever seen him?
He's a Rockette.
Getting out there, shaking that thing.
No, but I just want to I don't want to move on to the next one yet until we talk about how unfair this is.
No, I know. Love Amanda Kloots, live for everything, support. But this is up there with Heather Morrison, former Rockette.
Next, Charli D'Amelio is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
She should be.
But she's an amazing dancer.
Yeah, and she's trained. No, this is insane. It's worse than Suni Lee and when, Simone Biles was on. It's worse.
Then we also have Beverly Hills 90210's Brian Austin Green.
Oh, Sharna and Brian. Literally couldn't care less. Loserville Population 2. Moving on.
Bling Empire's Christine Chu.
No way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
She's a perfect type of person. I bet she's a terrible dancer, but she'll learn and get better. That's what it's supposed to be.
And then perhaps the most exciting casting announcement, Peloton instructor Cody Rigsby.
Yes, I saw that this morning.
He is going to bring everything he has. Claudia, so excited for you to watch because you're going to love him so much.
He's going to kill it. I know it. I know his vibe. I see him all over TikTok.
Right. And he obviously has rhythm because of his classes, mm-hmm. and they're so with the music, but he's not a dancer, so
no.
He's actually the perfect casting.
Yep.
And I'm so excited to see his personality come through, his song choices. He also has just creative vision, and I think
he's obsessed with pop culture and so many celebrities and musicians.
He's the perfect casting.
I think it was amazing, and he's in the homes of millions of Americans. He has a deep, wide reach. I do think people will vote for him. He's not so obvious Matt James, but he is really a part of people's everyday lives.
Yes. And
so is he going to be doing his Peloton? No, he's going to take some time off?
I don't know.
He's got to stay in shape.
Yeah. And then he could tell everyone to vote for him.
No, literally. He should still do the classes.
He should. There's definitely Peloton studios in LA.
For sure.
And also it's just exciting to see Peloton instructors who for the last almost 2 years have become such a big part of everybody's mm-hmm. lives, seeing them become traditional famous people.
No, it's fabulous.
Yes. Former NBA player Iman Shumpert.
Oh, he has a new reality show.
Yes, so I'm sure he's, making promoting, the rounds.
Yeah.
Country star Jimmy Allen.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. It's surprising, though, because he's really taking off.
Yeah.
So now he's going to do this.
But they always got to throw a country star in there.
Yeah. YouTube superstar JoJo Siwa, we knew.
Fabulous.
I feel like she's been waiting around for months for this.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Atlanta's Kenya Moore.
No way.
Yes, we said that last week, and that was your reaction last week.
I feel like she's not going to like it.
No, I don't think
so. She really likes to be in control of things. I don't think she's going to like it at all. I feel like she's going to pull Elisa Vanderpump and fake break her ankle or something.
Yeah, I agree with you. Cobra Kai's Martin Cove.
I don't know who that is.
The Bachelor's Matt James.
Yes, there's always someone from The Bachelor. I did see a video of Matt dancing because he made a TikTok with Suni Lee. And I don't know why I just assumed he was a good dancer when he literally has no rhythm. He was atrocious.
I saw him make a TikTok with Tyler C, the one with their shirts off. And I thought it was good.
I remember that one.
I thought it was good. Spice Girls, Mel C.
Oh!
That's good. That's exciting.
Wait, Mel C, Sporty?
Mel C, Sporty.
Oh, wow. Mel B is popping. She's on America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. But Mel C, I have not heard from her since her iconic solo song. How does it go? She released a solo song that I think is one of the best songs ever written.
Whoa.
And just give me 1 second. It's worth. Mel, which one?
C.
Just give me a second. Melanie C. Oh, I turn to you.
That's her.
Like a flower leaning towards the sun. I turn to you. 'Cause you're the only one who can turn me around. When I'm upside down, I turn to you. So good, right?
So good. I didn't realize that was her.
Yeah.
Then The Office's Melora Hardin. They don't watch Office.
Oh, by the way, yes, that is Jacqueline from The Bold Type.
From The Bold Type.
Wow. Love that for
and
her.
And she's also the principal from 17 Again.
Okay,
she, and
sure.
And she goes out.
Sure.
With the guy.
Yeah. So good. I love her.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited.
I'm so glad she found, you know, a new project after The Bold Type.
Yeah. WWE's Mike the Miz.
Oh.
Mr. and Mrs. Miz.
Miz and the Miz. That atrocious reality show. Like
Mr. and what is
no,
it?
No, it's Miz and Mrs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think.
I've never seen it.
Me neither. But the commercials are enough to make me know it's literally the worst show on television.
Okay. Olivia Jade and Suni Lee.
Okay. Just run through like the two most interesting girls.
We spoke about them last week.
I cannot believe the Olivia Jade rumor was true. Like, I hope that she has fun. I think that enough time has passed. I hope that people don't like make fun of her. Like, she's just a person. And I'll be rooting for her like 100%.
Yeah. Who do you think's going to win?
Well, it's tough because you have to be really popular, but you also have to be good. Because at some point your popularity can only take you so far. So like, that's my concern with like Matt James.
Yes.
You know, I don't think he's a very good dancer. But I think, of course, his fan base will take him, you know, halfway there.
Yeah.
I think that JoJo can make it really far because she's very good and very popular. You have
that's
to have both.
That's true.
I don't know what Amanda Kloots' like following is like. Does she have like, you know, she's mature women who are not going to be staying up all night, you know, calling
a million times. But her skill could get her very far.
Right.
Right.
So I don't know. JoJo Siwa is definitely a front runner. Suni Lee is definitely a front runner.
Yeah.
I don't know what Olivia Jade dances like.
I feel like Melora Hardin like could be someone who's just like,
people definitely like want to root for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
That's like that other season that we watched.
Where the woman from The Office, yes, is the alcoholic who works in like accounting. Yeah, she, yes, made it really far, even though like she doesn't have like a gaggle of millions of followers who are like waiting up, like texting, you know, using three different phones to send their votes in.
Yeah.
So it'll be actually a very interesting season. My only problem with becoming a fan of Dancing with the Stars, which I literally became last year, is it's such long episodes. It's similar to The Bachelor. Like, they have a million commercial breaks. They have useless, like, packages, like, of people, yes, dancing through LA. Like, just show us the dancing and give us a score and move on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They,
yeah,
waste so much time.
They can't help themselves.
They can't. It's like an ABC trademark.
Okay, well, it premieres Monday, September 20th, if you want to watch. And speaking of TV, we must get into the TV recap.
Let me open my list, but let's definitely start off with the D'Amelio show. They have a reality show on Hulu. If you haven't watched it, I really do suggest it. It's much different than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
And I think that was good and bad, because just from an entertainment perspective, I really liked getting to know the girls and their business. But I do feel like the whole show, every episode, was about the same thing. And it's an important conversation for sure. But I'm just saying, from an entertainment perspective, it did get like a little like repetitive at the end.
Yes, I agree. It was really surprising. Yeah. I thought this family was getting a show and it was going to be like silly family antics.
And like fabulous events, you
like
know.
Like most family reality shows are. And, you know, you get a little bit of the real life and whatever, but it'd mostly be like them, you know, doing silly things.
Right, like going to an art class.
There was really not that much that was silly about this show. And I have so many thoughts on the whole, but I will say, like I said earlier in the show, when I would think, if I ever thought about Charli and Dixie D'Amelio, like before watching the show, I would have assumed that they were so happy.
The and luckiest like, girls alive.
Like, just so excited. And they have ever, like, to go from, like, just being, you know,
a regular
kids in
kid.
Connecticut, and then to have this level of fame that, like, you know, in 1 year, Charli's on the Time 100 list. Like, it's unprecedented.
It's the real definition of, like, what's that phrase? Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it.
Yeah. So I was not prepared to see. And to me, when I think of Charli and Dixie, like, they're so loved. Charli has the most followers on TikTok because people love her. So I was so surprised to see how much hate they deal with, like how it affects them so. But I also think that they don't have good systems in place for dealing with it.
I completely agree. Like, it was shocking to see, A, how much they get, and B, how it really bothers them. Like, they're not just, like, these larger-than-life figures. They really are just, like, fucking 16- and 19-year-old girls who, like, if somebody, if you were in high school and somebody came up to you and called you musty, like, you would cry. And so they cried because they're children.
Right. And it's so crazy when you keep reminding yourself that Charli is 16, and then you like think back to where you were at 16, and like if someone was like capturing my personality on a reality show, and ooh, also like her personality, it keeps changing episode to episode.
She's evolving
because she's a teenager, and like
totally,
she doesn't know who she is yet.
No, and Charli is so young, but like so is Dixie. Dixie's now like Dixie's the older one, so I think like people give her less grace in that sense. But like she's still fucking 19.
She can't even have a sip of alcohol.
Exactly.
It's crazy. And
I was just thinking, like, at their birthday party, like, Charlie at the end, I'm like, are they drinking? No.
No. And I mean, they don't
seem like that.
I wasn't getting drinking vibes from any of the show.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that they sit on their phones all day, they wake up, roll over, grab their phone, and read comments, like, is so unhealthy. And I would have just assumed that, like, most people who are that famous don't read comments.
Right.
But they got really famous, like, from the comments. From the comments section. So, okay, they're probably, like, accustomed to reading comments, but, like, after watching the show, I'm like, they should have two phones, one for posting TikToks and like looking at Instagram and all those things, and like one for texting their friends. Mm-hmm. And, like, they should not be allowed to be on that TikTok phone all fucking day. And they sit around with their parents and they're like reading mean comments about themselves, like while they're trying to have a conversation. And it's like, the parents should be like, get off your phone. Like, because what they're doing on there is so harmful.
Yeah, honestly, like, there's one part of the show that gave me a pit, and I'm not critiquing anyone's parenting at all, but I did
because
not
the parents
get
are in uncharted territory.
Of course. And they said, like, we have no idea what we're doing. I just feel like there's more that they could be doing to protect their daughter's mental health. Like, you know, Charlie's having a breakdown, Dixie's having a breakdown, and like they're filming it. And like literally the filming is the antithesis of what they need. And, you know, they told Charlie to take a break. They cleared her schedule for a week and thought that it would fix. And I'm sure it definitely helped. Like, clearing her schedule for 1 week. Like, no. Girl needs, like, a six-month break. Like, I just feel like the parents kept giving me a pit. And it's, like, they live in this house that, like, is paid for by the kids. It just feels like this, like, kind of really weird, backwards type of dynamic. And I just felt like I wish that. And maybe they do it and we don't see it. I just wish that, like, the parents had handled a lot of the things differently.
Well, towards the end, Charlie's changed her schedule. She only works 3 days a week and it's between 11 and 4. And if you want to work with her, you have. And I think that's much smart. Healthier. And it must be really crazy. And I almost wish, I know that they would never share this, but, like, explain to us how much money you're making that's worth putting your kids through this. Because I'm sure it's so much money.
Right, millions. You know what?
And most people would choose, like, that and this.
Truckers
for Charlie. Over going home to Connecticut.
Of course.
But, like, for the average viewer, it's like, how could you be putting your kids through this? And the dad keeps saying, like, we'll, if, you know, if it ever gets too much, like, we'll go back home. We'll call it quits. And it's like,
reached that point.
To me, it looks like it's too much.
100%.
The girls are so miserable. They're crying every single day, multiple times a day.
They can't enjoy, like, regular things, like meals with their friends or with their family. Like, they're broken. It's so sad.
It's so sad, especially considering those are girls that I would consider have a net positive
life
experience on the internet, because they're so loved. I had no idea Charlie gets so much hate, like, or that
right, like, they've never had, like, old tweets resurface. Like, they're just they're never went through major scandals.
They're not controversial at all. They're just, like, beloved. They are all these brands want to work with them, like. And then to hear that, like, you know, and I think it was Avani said it, you know, the hate stresses you out when you're working with brands because you don't want the brands to see it and be like, maybe we shouldn't work with this person. And it's like, but the hate is so unfounded, and it's like, it's so crazy.
It's like,
so,
you think you're doing something wrong when, like, you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they, like, stress out about that. They stress out about everything. And also, like, the level of, like, social anxiety that they
Even, like, the friends that they're with, the people that they're friends with, like, TikTokers, like, yeah, I don't leave my house. It's like, you're 16-year-old girls. That's not normal.
No, it's so sad. And, like, when Avani was like, when I go to a restaurant with Charlie, like, both of us are too, like,
nervous to order.
Like,
yeah, no, like, and then when they were talking about Noah Beck, who I literally adore, they were like, he's just neurotypical, like, he doesn't have any of these issues. And I'm like, you know what, you're right, like, there's such a difference in the way he speaks on the show, like, versus Dixie. And Dixie gets a lot of shit because she's, like, monotone and she's, like, quiet. But the thing is, what I learned from the show was, like, you think you know these girls, like, you don't know them at all.
Yeah.
And her relationship with Noah was the best part of the show. I'm such a Dixie fan. I followed her after the show, like, I feel like she actually had a lot of growth on the show.
Yes, from episode one to the last episode, like, it's a brand new Dixie. She's really blossomed.
And I love that for her. Like, and you know what? They made a good point, because, like, of course, they get so much shit. Like, Dixie's not a real singer. And she's like, okay, but if you were getting these opportunities to, like, you know, sing and perform at, wouldn't you? Like, yeah. It's so moronic.
But it's just crazy, because the way that I saw it, not that I thought that much about them before, but, like, Dixie and like became really famous, and then she put out a song, Be Happy, and then I was like, everywhere was so popular.
It
and
was popping.
And I never realized that, like, her singing career was fraught with all this hate.
Yes, yeah.
I had no idea because like her songs were so popular.
Well, that's what people on the internet do. And by the way, those girls also are really very poignant and like they get so much hate, and those moron boys that they're friends with, like Bryce Hall, like they get no hate and they actually commit crimes. Like Bryce Hall like starts fights in restaurants and like everyone loves him, and like Charlie and Dixie released a YouTube video where like they spit out a piece of food that they didn't like, and it was literally worldwide news.
Right, I remember that news.
So like there is this insane double standard, and it's like crazy that these really young girls like are able to point it out, especially as it perceives to like cancel culture getting canceled. She was like, these boys can do whatever they want, and like I do something like benign and I'm a criminal.
Yeah, but when I think of like Bryce, I don't think of them, but like Bryce Hall and the others whose names I don't even know. Okay. And it's like because they're what doing their criminal activity and they're posting to TikTok, but like they don't have a drink with Duncan.
No.
Like, so even though they technically get away with more, they don't get the opportunities that these girls get for being such great, because they're the great girls that they are.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Bryce Hall doesn't have a line with Hollister.
No. And by the way, they're busy. Like I know that like their work gives them so much anxiety, but like I was really interested in like all their calendars and like what other projects they were working on. Like I knew they had Social Tourist, like a line of clothing, but I didn't know that it was funded by Hollister. Like I was just learning a lot about their business.
Yeah, the clothes were super cute. Everything that they do, they obviously have like, a very
put
good,
a lot of effort.
Yeah, but it was just really surprising, and I actually think the show will be. It's helpful. Not at all what I thought the show was going to be. And I think anybody who takes the time to watch it will be really surprised by it. And of course, it makes you think twice about what you say about anyone.
It also
because you just never know. But I don't think before the show I ever would have like really felt badly for Charlie and Dixie. But like after this, I'm just like, I think people will lay off of them if they take the time to watch it.
I also do think that was part of the reason why they wanted to do the show. I'm sure they didn't want another project to take on another like invasive thing that people could judge. But I do think like, I don't think any of it was acting. Like I think that like when Dixie was having that breakdown about the people, her YouTube video, like she gets this amazing opportunity to do a 24 hours in a day with Dixie vlog for Vogue. What should she not take it? Because technically like other people might deserve it more. Like, yeah. But she, by the way, she completely acknowledged that, but I don't think she was expecting the comments to be like, you're ugly, like you're musty. And no way did I think that was acting, like, at all.
No.
But I do think part of the reason they released the show is, like, in the hopes that people would just fuck off a little bit.
Yes, fuck off for them. But also, in general, like, when... And it makes me sad to think about, like, all the kids out there, famous or not famous, like, that live like this in their phones, like, other people's comments in their high school, like, other kids experience it on, like, a micro level. And, like, the kids are not okay.
No.
Every time I watch something that, like, highlights like the Gen Z culture and like even if it's like award shows, like the kids are not okay. And what are we doing to help these kids?
No, the kids are not okay. That was like the social dilemma too. Like if you we were like 16 years old, like maybe a little younger, like fully formed pretty much when we started like getting inundated with social media and like being attached to our phones. But like these kids are attached to their phones from like the age of 7. Like it's crazy and it's not normal. And like I feel like Charlie and Dixie are like a byproduct of that, like on a huge level.
Right. Plus the kids are not okay. Like the phones are causing like incredible mental health issues. And then also for the last 2 years, they're not allowed to leave their house.
Yeah.
They can't go to school. When they do leave their house, they have to wear a mask. They already have like social
anxiety
issues. And now they can't, like, it's so stifling.
No, the kids are fucked.
And that's what I took away from the show. And I need to understand what we're going to do to help these kids, because this is untenable.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it was just shocking.
Yeah. But it was a good show.
It was a good show.
Yeah, it's just so interesting, like, their life now. They also didn't really, like, talk about Addison. I was, like, curious.
I know. And also, but I also think, like, I wonder, I would love to hear how Addison had the exact same experience as Charlie, pretty much. She's just a little older.
I can't remember if I was talking to you or Margo about this, but I had this is just a theory, and I don't think that it might be true, but like the way that I perceive the whole Addison of it all is like the way Addison grew up and the way Charlie and Dixie grew up is actually really different. Like Charlie and Dixie grew up in like upper middle class of Connecticut, and Addison and her mom have spoken about like on their podcast how like they grew up just differently, like much poorer. And I think that like, of course, the shift from Charlie's former life to her current life is so different, but I think it's so much more different for Addison that, like, you know, this is her new life, and she's just kind of swallowing the hard parts and really focusing on the fact, like, she is able to support her entire family. They all moved out to LA. Like, they all have their own jobs. They're all making money from this. Like, I think that her mentality is just different because of that. That's just the way that I perceive it. I have no idea if that's true.
and also probably because of her age.
Oh, that helps for sure.
Those even because even 5 years between Charlie and Addison are like probably the most.
How old is?
I think Addison's 21.
No,
I'm pretty sure she is legal drinking age.
20.
Okay, 4 years. I think
she was born in 2000. That's so crazy. She's actually turning 21 in like a month.
Oh, that's exciting for her. I think those years make a big difference.
Of course.
But I would love to get a similar show from Addison. And also, like, it is really interesting to see the career choices that they all make. But I do think, like, the girls are so unhappy. Like, is this worth it? I would say no.
I would say no, too.
They could go home to Connecticut. She could be in the studio with Gemma. And she could still do social tours. She could still do brands on TikTok.
Totally. It doesn't have to be this immersive.
Every envelope in LA, especially like with COVID, like there's just like you're going to travel less and stuff. But yeah. Connecticut's close to New York.
No, I feel like, is it worth it for Charlie? No. I feel like Dixie has a better like grasp on things. I don't think it's worth it for Charlie.
She has a better grasp.
But it's not great.
But if Dixie was the only one on the show, I would still be like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I just feel like Dixie like finds actual joy in her music. And like, and that part of her career excites her. And I don't know if there's anything about Charlie's career that makes her excited.
Yeah. And that's why in the beginning, I was so glad that she was still doing dance.
But
and I know
she didn't even want
to
do it.
I know. And I understood why at the end of the day, like it just became one more thing that she needed to do. And it was like, she'd rather torture. Have the free time. But I feel like that's really like what grounded her in like her old life. And then to take that away, it's just like, she's just out in LA untethered.
Untethered. It was a real shock, the whole show.
Yeah. I just...
Just you think you know people and you think like you see somebody like, I want that. Like, I want to be the most famous TikToker. It ain't it. Like, it's not it.
Yeah. And they have no, like... You know, they talk so badly about themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're just like, I don't deserve this. Like, listen, if it was that easy to just dance on TikTok and be the most famous girl in the world,
everyone would do it.
There would be so many more Charli D'Amelios. And there's not. There's something special about you. There's something that people really like about you. Like, allow yourself to be proud of that.
Totally.
And even with Dixie, when she was like, people just say I got famous, like, I'm just famous because Charli's famous. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But like, that's
they have no self-esteem.
That's not true because so many people are famous. So many people
have siblings.
So many people have even thirsty siblings, and they're not Dixie D'Amelio.
Frankie Grande.
And he's not Dixie D'Amelio.
No, that's so true.
So, like, again, Dixie, there is something about you that people really like.
Agreed.
And it's okay to be proud of that.
No, honestly, I watched a show. My takeaway was like, oh, I want to be friends with Dixie. Like, I really was... She's funny. Like, and she got more comfortable as the show went on. But you're right. Like, they have no self-esteem.
Yeah, and it's just so sad because they've not accomplished nothing. And they really look at themselves like... I don't deserve to be here.
Yeah.
And you can always say there's someone who deserves it more. There's someone more talented. But, like, you can also...
There's proof in the pudding.
No, but you can also, like, say nice things about yourself, too. Well, yeah. It doesn't take away from everyone who's done more. The doctors and nurses in time 100.
I do think Charlie was right about that. But
Charlie, you inspired people this year. You did.
Yeah.
The whole world was dancing on TikTok.
Yeah.
Watching your videos.
No, like, changing the zeitgeist.
And that's just the truth. That's facts.
Yeah.
You know?
No, totally.
So it made me sad.
It made me really sad. Like, fucking depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you really never know what's going on behind closed doors. And this is, like, the real message here is, like, what you see on social media. I know everyone says it, but, like, this is, like, an actual adaptation of what you see on social media versus screaming, crying in your bedroom. Like, just please keep that in mind. Like, when you're scrolling social media and everyone's life looks so fabulous. Like, they cry in their rooms, too, and they have body image issues. Like... It's just, this was like an actual personification of like what you see versus reality.
No, and it was probably the most drastic one I've seen.
And what's so crazy is like the hate they get is like actually coming from 11-year-olds. Like the kids are not well.
No, they're seriously not.
Any other thoughts on the D'Amelio show?
I think I'm good. If something else comes to me, I'll bring it up.
I started watching Only Murders in the Building, which is a Hulu show that I've been hearing a lot about that like I was so confused about because I'm like, why are Steve Martin, Martin Short, like a iconic comedy duo for the last 50 years, doing a show with Selena Gomez? But I watched it because I read somewhere that like some, you know, magazine rated it like the best show ever released on Hulu. And I was like, oh my God. And Ben loves Steve Martin and Martin Short. And so we watched it together. And I have to say, I was so pleasantly surprised. First of all, the concept of the show, can I just tell you what it is?
Yeah, there's a murder in the building.
Yeah, there's a murder in the building, but like there's three like random people in the building who don't know each other who are obsessed with true crime podcasts that they start their own podcast to solve this crime in the building. Like, and it turns out there's so much more going on in the building than we had originally thought. And Selena Gomez plays this like mysterious, like weird, like, you know, like teenager or whatever. And I'm very hard on Selena Gomez, mostly because I think a lot of times, you know, when she comes out singing, like she's constantly disappointing us. And I'm just like, how is this the most followed person?
But just remember the D'Amelio show.
Totally. You're so right. But what I was going to say is like, we forget, like, when you think of Selena Gomez, I think of singer. She's really like not. Like, she is a born and bred actor.
Yes.
She got famous on Wizards of Waverly Place. She did a lot of acting before she sang.
And then they made her sing.
They made her sing. Which I really, maybe, I don't know. I just feel like it's not her true passion. I feel like makeup and acting are her true passion. And she's stellar in both. Rare Beauty is a killer brand. And literally, Jackie, I was shook. Because you know, like when someone that famous is in a TV show and they're not like a great actor, it's like you're just distracted by their obviousness. You know, yes. Like they're not blending into the show as like a real member of the person who lives in the building. She's excellent. Like, I have to say, I was really surprised. Like, she is such a good actress and she has a big role, like main character. And I was just really surprised, like, and totally off like what I thought it was going to be. I love the show. There's only three episodes. Now they're releasing them, I think, weekly, which is so annoying.
That's annoying. That's like Nine Perfect Strangers. I'm just waiting.
But it's a really good show. I feel like they really, there's such a good vibe about it. Like, it's so New York. And it's like so like pre-pandemic New York. It's just like they live on the Upper West Side. And it just like really makes you like love New York. It's really, it's an amazing show. Steve Martin is so funny. And Martin Short is so funny. I highly recommend. Like, I just did not think that's what my takeaway from the show was going to be. But me and Ben were loving it.
Okay.
So good.
I'm going to watch it, but I do want to wait. Same with Impeachment. It premiered last night.
It did?
Yeah, I recorded it.
Okay, I thought we're living in the digital age. Like, I what know. Is with all these shows dropping weekly?
FX is like, it's still channel by channel.
Oh, it's on cable?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's so annoying because I really want to watch it.
Yeah, well, I recorded it so you can come through. But I want to watch it all together.
Yeah. Okay, and then I watched Clickbait. Which, like, everyone is obsessed with. It's starring Adrienne Grenier. It's a Netflix show, and it's, like, a murder mystery. And, like, the whole time, it was so good.
Adrienne Grenier?
Yeah.
And you liked it?
No, I know, but he's also not really in it that much.
Oh, like, okay, cool, cool.
But he, like, I don't want to spoil it, but he's just, like, not in it. It's really good, except, like, the main character is, like, the sister of the person who gets murdered. And her name is Pia. I'd never heard of this actress before. And she has the most distracting haircut you could ever imagine. It's a bright yellow bob with bangs straight. So she literally looks like Edna Mode, but blonde. It's so distracting. And she's like the worst character. And she honestly at times made the show unwatchable. But there's a major twist at the end that like you never saw coming. And it's really good.
Okay. I thought Clickbait was like a documentary.
I thought it was going to be like a show about teenagers, you know, on TikTok, like Clickbait.
No, that's D'Amelio show.
No, literally. But it's totally not what I thought. And I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Then I watched Netflix did a documentary on Caitlyn Jenner. More about Caitlyn's time at the Olympics and not her transition. They did focus on the transition, obviously. But I feel like we've seen so many and heard so much from Caitlyn about her transition. But I never really, like, knew that much about her time at the Olympics.
Right, because you weren't alive.
Right. Or, like, how she even got to the Olympics or her first wife. Like, it was really interesting. Now, the parts of it I did feel like were revisionist history because, like, after the Olympics, Caitlyn and his wife and her wife, like, things don't work out, whatever. And they go through Caitlyn's many marriages. And they totally skipped over Linda Thompson, like, and Brody and Brandon.
That's so weird.
It was so weird. Why? And it just went straight to Chris.
Why?
I don't know.
That's really weird.
And then, like, I feel like the documentary really missed, like, of course, this, like, life with Chris was amazing, but Chris also reinvented the fuck out of Caitlyn. Like, Caitlyn was becoming irrelevant. Like, Caitlyn was on Wheaties, and, you know, when you win the decathlon, it's like you're the best athlete in the world. Like, that's what they call you. And Caitlyn went on this tour and these events. But then, like, people moved on with their lives and forgot about Caitlyn Jenner. Chris was like integral in Caitlyn's business in reinventing Caitlyn, going on motivational speaking tours. Like,
right.
Did not mention any of that.
Yeah.
None of it. But then at this point, they're more so talking about Caitlyn's transition and how Bert, who I believe is from Caitlyn's first marriage, knew in the sixth grade. like, Caitlyn had tried so many times to come out. So, like, for us, it was so shocking when it happened. But, like, for people around Caitlyn, it was, like, finally. Like, they had known for years.
Yeah.
And I feel like Linda Thompson, I feel like something must have happened with Linda Thompson. Because, like, why would they cut her out?
That is really weird. Especially because, did they have people participating? Yes. I feel like she would have participated.
Yes, they had Caitlyn's first wife, who, like, when you hear the story, it's, like, so cute. Like, Caitlyn went to Graceland College because she got, like, some random scholarship, like, for football or whatever. Tore her knee and, like, couldn't really compete in anything other than the decathlon. And became obsessed with the decathlon, met this girl, and they just rode it out together for, like, 8 years. Caitlyn went to 2 Olympics. First time, like, irrelevant, but, like, had the best time. Second time, like, met someone at the first Olympics from the USSR at the time and was like, I'm going to beat you. And became obsessed with this Russian Olympian. Like, I'm going to beat this Russian Olympian. And eventually, Caitlyn did beat this Russian Olympian. And her wife was just there the whole time. And it was like, in another life, like, they would have been, like, the cutest, like, married forever. But they had Bert. And then, obviously, after achieving this, like, major, major thing, Caitlyn was still so unhappy. And that like, became, like, a thing in their marriage.
Right.
So I really felt like it was a good documentary. Because, like, now Caitlyn is, like, so messy and, like, out of control. But, and myself included, people forget, like, what she did.
Yeah.
It's like, it was really good, actually. I enjoyed it. But you have to go into it knowing, like, some of it is definitely not, like, 100%.
Okay, I want to check it out. I want to talk about Cinderella.
Oh, yes!
Because I watched it. I was so excited. I watched it on Friday night, I think. And I'm going to start with the positives because I have a lot of really strong positives and a lot of really strong negatives. And my net, though, is negative.
Of course.
Sorry to say. Positive. Camila Cabello was amazing.
Wow.
She was such a good actress. She's obviously an amazing singer. She was a star. She didn't distract. I wasn't like Camila Cabello, but right. I was also like Camila. Like,
yeah.
She was so good. She did a great job.
And she's gorgeous. Like, probably just a vision to watch.
A vision. And the wardrobe was actually really good because, as we know, she's a dressmaker and she loves her dresses.
She's a boss
babe. She's a boss babe. I wasn't crazy about, like, her ball gown dress. But still, it wasn't that bad. Billy Porter also did an amazing job. It's crazy how Fairy Godmother is only in, like, two minutes.
Two scenes, yeah.
One scene. Literal one scene.
Getting her ready for the ball.
So, but that was a pretty fun scene. So that was good. I thought Minnie Driver did an excellent job. She played the
queen.
Who was
Minnie Driver?
She was the mother of the prince.
That's funny.
And just, she really stood out to me. And Pierce Brosnan played the king. And he's, you know, so Piercy.
So kingish.
Yeah, but Minnie Driver stood out to me. Idina Menzel played stepmother. And it was all over the place. Then for the sisters, I didn't know one of them, but the other one was the girl who played Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray Live, the most recent one.
Oh, Maddie. Not Nikki Blonsky.
Her name is Maddie.
I don't know who that girl is.
And so I thought that was a fun fact. I was glad to see her working.
You love, like, when the live musicals just, like, pop up in everyday life.
I do. Thank you. Now for the negatives. So first of all, this movie was, like, not authorized in any way.
So that's what you told me, and that's what I want to talk about. Because Cinderella is a Disney story.
This movie was not authorized in any way by Disney. And you can tell because none of the songs from any version of Cinderella are in this movie. It's all contemporary songs. Kay Cannon, who's Pitch Perfect, is the director of this. So it's very Pitch Perfect-y. They're all singing. There's medleys. There's mixed mashups. Mm. And I just thought it was really stupid. And also the song choices, like Stepmother singing Material Girl, I personally was good on that.
Good on that, yeah, for sure.
The one original song, A Million Dreams or whatever, I loved.
Gonna wake up and see.
And I wish there was more of that because I thought that those moments were really special. But, like, the singing mashups and, like, the dancing and the extras, it really had the same quality to me as Descendants. Like, the villagers dancing in the village. It was, like, on the one hand, the production value was so high. You could tell they had, like, unlimited budget.
Right.
And then on the other hand, when it came to, like, scenes in the town and stuff, it was Disney Channel made for TV.
Well, like, honestly, I really wasn't planning on watching it, but and I hadn't thought of it until you brought it up. Like, why a Disney remake is on Amazon Prime? Like, it makes no sense. If there was a new Cinderella, it would be on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So why did they do, like, a generic brand Cinderella on Amazon Prime?
Beats me. Another thought that I had, the Cinderella story, the story of Cinderella, I'm sorry to this woman, is not worth telling over and over and over again.
By the way, I thought that when we rewatched Cinderella with Whitney Houston, it was like you're distracted by Whitney Houston and Brandy and like the music, but it's really like a boring story and really short.
It's boring. It's depressing. The most of the movie is like bad times for Cinderella and like right. Harding or just like fucking find her in the glass slipper. Like it's like really frustrating. And so, and also like I'm always surprised by the fact like I love the high budget like live action remakes of movies, mm-hmm. and I've still never seen the Cinderella with Robert Madden and Lily James.
Me neither.
Like I've seen bits and pieces, but like because this story is not a good story, it's not one that we should be telling over and over and over again. And then in this Cinderella, they change the story a little bit, and that made it worse. Honestly, like the end. I guess I won't spoil it for you guys, but like
she told me, and it's moronic.
Like my eyes are just rolling in the back of my head. Like it's just so dumb. They wanted to be like so, like. New and different mm-hmm. and like progressive, and it's just like it's an eye roll. It's just they're trying too hard. Also,
they're trying too hard. The thing is with these like Disney movies,
what one of us watched it?
Wait, no, but I'm just saying, like with this whole thing, like Disney movies are obviously like very old school. Like there's a princess who needs to be saved by the prince, and I don't know if the answer here is to like redo this classic stories and make like the woman a feminist. Maybe it's just like make a different movie.
Perhaps.
That's just my thought.
Because, like, this stuff is cringe.
Yeah, like, that was with the Beauty and the Beast remake. Like, we were watching these special effects. No, I'm saying, we were watching these special effects where, like, you know, Emma Watson was having this, like, internal struggle because, like, she's such a feminist and she's doing a story about Beauty and the Beast where essentially, like, Belle marries her abuser.
Stockholm Syndrome.
So she was, like, trying to, you know, internalize that struggle.
Give Belle agency.
So she like hiked Belle's dress up and it was an attempt to make Belle look more industrial, whatever. That's fine because they didn't really change. Of course, if we look too into it, like, is this a good story for our children marrying your abuser? No. But it's a story. Like, it's a movie and it's just not that serious. Like, so.
And if you want to make a serious movie, go do that.
A different movie.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is like they took the Cinderella story and changed it.
They changed the end. Yes.
I'm not a fan of that.
I wasn't a fan of it at all. Like, by then, there had been so much, like, cringe, eye-roll-worthy stuff that I was like, fucking turn it off. Like,
right.
It was so painful. And then, also, so James Corden is in it, and he's an executive producer, I saw at the end, which explained why he gave himself the biggest role for a mouse.
For a mouse?
He was a mouse who turns into a footman, and, like, you could just tell.
What's a footman?
Carriage.
Got it.
Man.
Got it.
With the reins. And
squeegee girl who does the boat side, exactly. Carriage man,
and
with
like
the reins.
In all other versions of Cinderella, like you don't know who played the mouse and the footman. Mm-hmm. Like it's just a mouse and then a man with the wig. And he thought that he was hysterical. He thought he was the star of the movie. That's like funny. They don't stop like the conversations among the mice. Like in every scene, the dialogue just ran on way too long. Like you could just tell they thought they were the funniest people ever in every scene, and it was like it's not funny.
No, I mean there's like a viral moment going around on TikTok now.
What is it?
Where like Billy Porter transforms her.
When she screams.
And she's like, I look amazing. And he's like, yes, future queen, yes. Like, and everyone's just like cringe. It really was cringy. I don't even know like the context.
I want to just let you know there were so many cringeworthy moments in the movie that in watching it, that wasn't even one of them.
Oh, it didn't even stick out to you?
No, because I liked the dynamic between Cinderella and Fairy, and they did a good job, I thought. And so it's funny that that's even, like, getting knocked.
No, and, like, it's really painful to watch.
Yeah, it was just, it was not good. And I had actually really high hopes because the trailer looked amazing, the cast was amazing, and Camilla just came out swinging, and I was like, oh, she will carry this film.
Yeah.
It was so long, they thought they were doing something. They were doing nothing.
I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, when you told me you were watching Cinderella, it reminded me that I wanted to watch Cruella. And I know I'm like the last person to watch Cruella, but unbelievable film. Like if you have kids or if you're just like an adult looking for a good movie, there are no good movies out. Watch Cruella. It was incredible.
Okay. I'm going to.
I can't believe you didn't see it.
Because you know what? Like
it's
I watch all these movies, like get so excited for them and then they fucking stink.
No, Cruella was incredible. First, honestly, That's a difference between like Disney and an Amazon Studios movie. Like Disney cares so much about the integrity of the storyline. Like it's a prequel. So it's like how Cruella became evil. And it's literally like the perfect prequel. There's no stone left unturned. Everything from the original, what you already know about Cruella makes total sense. Like there's no bullshit. It's so good. And then it's also so contemporary. Like It's just, it was amazing.
I can't wait to watch it. Did you watch with Theo, though?
I did, and he was losing his mind.
He wasn't triggered?
No, he was just, woo, woo.
Even though Cruella does what she does.
Well.
One day.
You'll have to see.
You'll understand why.
You'll understand. No, no, just,
you'll see. Understand why she wants
no,
to
you'll see.
Mass murder the pups.
You'll see.
Okay.
Yes, you will 100% understand why.
Okay.
Okay. Also, then the last thing is I started Nine Perfect Strangers and I despised it.
Okay.
It was so slow and Melissa McCarthy was just being so funny and they kept showing me like other stupid people at the resort who like were not being funny. And I'm like, if you don't bring me back to Melissa McCarthy, I want a whole show about Melissa McCarthy's character. She's like a Colleen Hoover.
Yes.
Hoover.
Yes.
Oh, you read the book. Right. So she's just like this.
No, I'm watching the show. I didn't read the book.
Oh, so she's just, I want to know more about her life. Like, give me the spinoff after she leaves the retreat. Like, she was so funny.
How many episodes did you watch?
Literally 20 minutes of the first one. Like, I despised it.
Well, they do tell you more about her
life. I just met Nicole Kidman. And, like, I'm not buying.
Masha.
I'm not buying any of this. Like, I really didn't like it.
I kind of agree with you. Like, I'm just looking for shit to watch. So I'm not going to complain with the few things that are decent.
Yeah.
But it's so dragged out. Again, they just, these people constantly think they're doing something.
Yeah, that's so true. That's like literally the.
And they can't.
The theme of Hollywood.
They can't stop themselves.
No, they can't see themselves,
and
you know?
And they can't like shorten anything. They can't cut anything. Like, it's painful.
It is. I don't think I'm going to finish it. Like, I don't even, like, I wasn't compelled at all.
Life's too short to watch shows that don't.
Especially when I have
joy.
An erotic novel waiting for me.
Especially. I started a new book,
oh.
The Social Graces by Renee Rosen.
Oh, I've read it.
What did you think?
So good.
What was your favorite part?
Probably when she graced very socially.
I mean, that happens constantly in the book. So which instance?
Oh, when she's gracing and it's like super social.
Huh. I haven't gotten there yet.
Or sometimes, you know what is actually my favorite part of the book? When she's socializing so gracefully.
Huh. I must have not gotten there
yet. No, it's at the end.
Okay. I'll let you know.
What's it about?
It's like early, it's late 19th century, early 20th century New York, which has just been like my vibe. And
did they mention street names? Like,
yes.
And they're the same?
Yeah.
That's so weird. I don't know why.
Most of them. And it's about Mrs. Astor and Alva Vanderbilt. It's like a, changing of the guard, society vibes.
Wow. That's like, maybe you'll read about Anderson Cooper.
I hope not. Like, I seriously hope not.
Oh, man, that's funny. Well, enjoy your book. I'm going to go home and read my erotic novel, if that's okay with you.
Sounds so great. I'm actually so booked and busy today.
Just got to get a glass of wine, dim the light. Get erotic,
Theo, get over here.
Literally. Actually, no, my housekeeper's here today, so maybe I'll wait till she leaves before I go ahead and read the erotic novel.
That's a good idea.
It just makes me feel weird.
As it should.
Even like last night, like Ben was asleep and I'm like reading an erotic novel. I just felt like I was doing something wrong, Like, I was just trying to fall asleep and I had this book and I was like, my sister made me read it. I'm not doing anything wrong. But like, Ben's sleeping and I'm like, I'm like such a stereotype. Like, lonely housewife. Like, I felt like I was doing something wrong.
I'm dying.
No, it was so weird. Like,
that is so funny.
It just didn't feel right. So I'm just going to wait till I'm like, in a good space, no one's in my house, like,
and then you're gonna finish it, it's good.
Yeah, no, need to finish it.
Okay, and everyone please read the book so we can rate.
Yeah, we need to discuss. Read the book, enjoy this episode, check out our Patreon, new episode first of the month with a special guest announcing a big announcement. We're not being dramatic.
Big tings.
patreon.com/themorningtoast. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the millennial morning show where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe, please, and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found, so that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. If you're still here in honor of the erotic novel we're all currently reading, drop an emoji of the book.
Okay, beautiful.
And an eggplant.
Book and eggplant. Yep, that's
on
it.
On our most recent Instagram to let us know that you made it to the end of the episode. We love you guys. Have a great day. Happy hump day. And we'll see you tomorrow.